Live from the Dick Fitzner Amphitheater, it's a bonus episode of the Nate Darling Show, the Golden Naked Men Awards. Now, a man who has all too often been his own key grip, Nate Darling.
And welcome to a special episode of the Nate Darling Show. The Oscars have just finished, and now it's time to gather around the Oscar Roundtable, which is neither a table nor a round. With me is my friend Jason Knight from JD Knight Films. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Nate. Thanks for having me.
And Hootie should be there via phone. Hootie, are you there?
I am here, sir. Can you hear me?
Ah, we hear you this time.
Yay!
Thankfully, the technical difficulty was on the first take only, and we established it early on. So there we go.
I'm always a technical difficulty in life and in your show.
Well, things happen, you know. You relied on your Comcast phone, and look what happened to you. You were left as dead as Harry Morgan, and as unappreciated as well. Harry Morgan left out of the death reel. What's going on with that?
I don't know. All I know is that Jane Russell was a smoking hot woman.
Well, yes. She was indeed. She is well known for being large breasted and endowed. Those are the same thing I know. Yeah. I know they are. So we just all finished watching the Oscars in various places and in various modes. So let's start out with overall impressions of the show. Hootie, what did you think of the entire telecast as a whole?
I was completely blown away. I was expecting to go in, and I was jaded because the last couple of years have just been god-awful, and the movie crop this year was god-awful. However, the show was everything I wanted it to be, and then some. I'm so glad Billy Crystal's back.
Jason, what did you think of the show? You got to see it in a little different thing. You watched it at a party and sort of watched it with a group.
Yeah, we had a couple friends over, and it was a lot of... I'm glad there was other people in the room to talk to, because I felt... I loved Billy Crystal. He was great to have him back, and I loved a lot of the little gags, but it was kind of up and down. It was like kind of slow, but then there was a gag here and there, and it kind of filled in the gaps having other people around.
I watched it here with my cat, Zippy, and he didn't really care. I was really surprised because I normally hate award shows with the burning passion of a thousand fiery suns. And other than a few moments, I didn't really hate it. I actually enjoyed most of the show. And one thing I did was I DVR'd it, so I was able to fast forward through the commercials. And so I didn't have to sit through all the commercials. I think that might have helped me a little bit. And there's only a couple points in the actual show that I really thought about fast forwarding through. So overall, I would give it a thumbs up, to borrow a movie thing. So one of the things that we talked about, that you and I, Hootie, talked about before the telecast was to sort of give out our own war awards, and these are some of the things that you came up with and I sort of tweaked. So let's go around the round table as we start. The most visibly bitter loser / wish I was somewhere else during the show. Hootie, who did you have for that winner?
Oh, without a doubt, and it seems to be the same person every year. Angelina Jolie just really thinks she should be somewhere else and is better than everyone else in the room. And what was most awesome about it this year was that the award she gave out, the person who came up on stage completely mocked her, and I doubt she caught it.
Yeah, I really doubt she did. I don't know that she wishes she was somewhere else. I just think in her mind she is somewhere else.
I totally agree with that.
Jason, what did you think?
I was going to say Angelina Jolie or maybe even Nick Nolte, when he's on stage, but he's just getting made fun of by Billy Crystal.
That's really funny because I obviously Angelina Jolie, but what I had down was Nick Nolte during Billy Crystal's mind reading bit.
Exactly.
Because he's just sitting there, and for anybody who hasn't seen the entirety of the Oscars or was in the bathroom or drinking beer or whatever when this happened, they did one bit where Billy Crystal is standing there. It was very much, it reminded me of a Jay Leno type bit, so it didn't really work that well. No one seemed that amused by it.
Well, it's a return. It's one of those standard Billy Crystal bits. He's done it. I think this is his third time doing it. So the first and the second time, it was funny. Everyone was expecting it this time around, and it kind of fell short a little bit. My only question about Nick Nolte was that sunburn or was that from excessive drinking?
You know, it's probably a little of both. He's out in the sun a lot for that series Luck on HBO.
Yes, that's true.
But he does drink an incredible amount. But when they cut the camera to Nick Nolte and Billy Crystal, Billy Crystal's, this is what Nick Nolte is thinking. He's like, Nick looked kind of pissed. Like he would, like if he had a little more energy, he would storm the stage and punch him in the face. I think there could be a post-show bag tap in his future. Just a little backhand rap with the knuckles to the balls on Billy Crystal. That's just what I'm thinking.
I definitely.
That would be funnier than a lot of moments in the show. Now, the most obnoxious presenter and or winner. Now, this one, I probably went a little different direction, so I'm going to start on this one. I think the most obnoxious thing I saw in the entire show was Will Ferrell. But that's pretty much anything with Will Ferrell. I know that's his shtick, but Will Ferrell, for me, the most obnoxious presenter of the evening. Jason, who did you think?
What stands on top of my head is probably J-Lo's chest and dress that she was wearing. That seemed pretty obnoxious for her.
I would use a different adjective. I would go fantastic. I was suitably impressed.
I was surprised.
There was partial nipple there.
I thought so too.
See,
there was partial nipple there. I mean, it wasn't like evident, but it was definitely starting to slip a little bit out the side.
Well, that's one of the things that's on TMZ, because I checked TMZ right after the show ended, and that's one of the things is they have that clip of them, and they're like, it's a poll: was there nipple or was it a shadow or whatever? And right now, it's about 52-48 that there was a nipple there, and I watched it again in the interest of science, and I did not see any nipple. So, and I was looking, I was staring right there, and I didn't see anything. So I think it was more wishful thinking than nipple.
Well, my TV's bigger than yours, so I think that's why I think it was nipple.
It is true. Your TV is a lot bigger, and you're sitting a little closer than I would be.
They went back to it twice. I mean, God bless the person who was sitting behind the switcher. They didn't just let the world see it once. They went back to it twice.
Sure. And your most obnoxious presenter was?
Actually, it wasn't a presenter. It was actually it was a winner. Mm-hmm. I actually love Will Ferrell, but that's another story for another day.
Sure.
I was completely annoyed by the men who won for Best Documentary because they were thinking that they could just keep rambling on and weren't going to get cut off, and then seemed shocked when they got cut off. And anyone should know that if you won for Best Documentary, unless you're Michael Moore railing against some conservative cause, you're going to get cut off.
Yeah, they were pretty quick with playing. People were quick with getting off stage. They were apparently giving them the rap cue very early on, and I forget the actress's name. Let me look it up on the list here. She was the one who won for Best Supporting Actress.
That would be down. Octavia Spencer from The Help.
The Help, yeah.
Yeah, and her speech, she was just so overwhelmed by everything. She was just acknowledging everything out loud. They're giving me the wrap up, and I'm wrapping up, and I'm the whole point, honey, is to actually finish your thank yous and get off stage. But she wasn't being a jerk about it or anything of that nature. She just was so nervous and overwhelmed by the moment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's one of the beautiful things about the Oscars is when you get that genuine, unjaded moment, because there's so few actual ones like that.
It definitely was. I mean, with her and with the gentleman who won for Best Actor from France, he was just... Mm-hmm. It was great to see that kind of raw emotion, which so many times gets stifled with these Hollywood things.
And here's a tip for them. Get your French translated by somebody who speaks both languages really well, because his translation to English was almost exactly word for word. Like it's like he did a Google Translate, which doesn't really translate that well. But I speak enough French that when he started speaking French to his wife, I'm like, oh, okay, because he was sort of saying the same things, but in French, and that made a lot more sense to me. So that was some of the obnoxious and not obnoxious things. Now, this was one that you were sort of thing. Jason, did you have something to say? He raised his hand, that's why I asked. The I'm happy Billy Crystal is back moment. Hootie, well, you're the big Billy Crystal guy. What was your moment? What was the aha moment for that?
The second he walked on the screen and in the beginning movie montage, I didn't realize how much I had missed him until I saw that. Now I'm a little bit biased. I love Billy Crystal. I'm the guy who actually owns a copy of Forget Paris. The second he walked in and was doing what was sorely missing from the last decade or almost decades worth of performances, I was over the moon and completely sucked into the show.
I'm going to have to agree. That was my moment too, was that opening montage, that film montage. I thought that was fantastic. And it walked the line between, you know, too much and cheesy and just really kind of cool. You know, you saw Bieber and the Bieber thing was a little bit too much. And then it sort of pulls it back. It was just this weird yo-yo between I'm going
Bieber
too far.
By way of Woody Allen, though, was something genius. That actually made it funny for me because the fact that they put Bieber in a Woody Allen scene was just something I would have never expected. And the meshing of the two just made my brain kind of start to dance.
No. Okay.
I agree with you guys as well, the opening sequence. And I also kind of like how he kept going back to it and teasing Clooney for the on-screen kiss that they had.
That was kind of the cool thing about Billy Crystal all night is, now, he did one thing that I got really sick and tired of after about the second or third time, and it was the constant chiding about the Kodak Theater not being the Kodak Theater anymore. Because Kodak is going bankrupt and the Your Name Here theater. And the first time I was mildly amused. The second time I was like, okay. The third time I'm like, all right, move on from your joke, old man. Let's move this away. But the one thing he did that was awesome is all night long he did not shy away from poking and prodding the Academy itself and the entire architecture of the Oscars. And my favorite moment in terms of that was when the president of the Academy came out and did his little bit, and he called him Mr. Excitement at the end. So
that did get the biggest laugh at the get together I had was that was a everybody laughed at that because that guy was so dry.
And
the only thing that stunk about this year with Billy Crystal is it's always wonderful when he has Jack Nicholson to play off of, and Jack not being there in the front row, front and center, just there's something missing without him there, but at the same time, it was excellent.
I would say that, you know, it went really well. Now, the Best Newly Dead Person Award, which I didn't quite understand what you meant by that, but I went with it. And I was a little disappointed that Harry Morgan didn't make the list and that Whitney Houston did. I don't believe Whitney Houston to be a great film actress. I know she has a few film credits under her belt. I double-checked on IMDb. She's been in, I believe, 5 movies. The most recent and most acclaimed would be The Bodyguard from 1992.
She actually has one coming out this summer, ironically. The reason I posted that as a category was because normally what happens is this very tasteless hooting and hollering the loudest for one specific dead person. It's like become an Oscar tradition where when somebody they all recognize or someone they think is better than the person before that comes up, the whole place goes nuts and it sounds like there's some kind of audience poll being taken. And this year, just dumbfounded, it was complete silence for everybody. Until everything was done, and they went to Fade to Black, and then they clapped. And that, honestly, was probably my most memorable moment of the night, the fact that they had that kind of class to just let everyone have their equal due. Yeah, a couple people had some sound bites, and then some couple people just had pictures, but overall, no one person was overshadowed.
That's true. I would have preferred to see Harry Morgan as opposed to Whitney Houston.
But you are a very big fan of MASH, so I completely understand where you're
and of Dragnet. Don't forget Dragnet. Sure.
I just watched Dragnet last night. Just
Christopher Plummer Oscar winner. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
Was in the Dragnet movie, which also starred Harry Morgan.
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't he play like the cult leader?
He did play the cult leader. Yeah.
Wow.
Why every time I see him, I recognize him only as the cult leader who's trying to kidnap the Virgin Connie Swale.
That is a great moment in film. My best dead person, I'm going to have to go with Elizabeth Taylor. She wins my award because I sat through the whole reel, and it was a little disappointing the way they put it together. I thought it would have been cool. They could have done it with a little bit more pizzazz, I guess would be the best way to describe it. Of all the people that we lost this year, I think Elizabeth Taylor would probably be the most dynamic, biggest star that we sort of lost. Any other thoughts?
No, I agree. I thought it was the only odd person I thought on there. They had an accountant or a sales exec. They had something. Somebody wasn't a director or your producer types or your actor types. It was like someone was like it was a position that was just really weird. Position to see in there, and I wish I would have made a note on that to but it just stood out to me as a weird thing.
Yeah, they had a lot of behind the scenes people this year, including Steve Jobs, who was he was a studio. I forget which movie. Who do you remember which studio he worked for?
Well, he co-founded Pixar.
That's right.
And honestly, if it wasn't for Steve Jobs, I wouldn't have seen one of the Oscar nominated films today before the Oscars started. So,
which
I tip my cat to Steve Jobs. I got sucked in. I wanted to see The Help before the Oscars, because I just had a feeling that it was going to take some awards, and I wanted to not be left out, and I wanted to see that movie finally. I don't know why I put it off, and I was really blown away by it, but I watched it on my Apple on computer, well, Mac computer, and I downloaded it on iTunes.
Did it help assuage your white guilt?
Oh, dear. Oh, yes. Oh my God! I'm going to drink a lot today just because I'm white. But at the same time, it didn't overdo it. I don't mean to get off on a little movie rant here because we're trying to keep this light and funny. But just a quick review, it didn't really like hammer home white guilt. It really gave me a idea of something I would have never had an idea of before because I didn't grow up in the South or wasn't alive in the 1960s.
Right.
So oh. I was really impressed by it, and I was expecting to rail against it because of the white guilt factor.
Jason, who is your favorite dead person this year? It's an odd question, I know.
I know, that's a tough one. Out of the little montage they showed, the Peter Falk stood out to me,
mm-hmm.
Mostly because of, you know, the Princess Bride and a little bit of some of the Columbo stuff, but yeah, he stood out to me as favorite dead guy, I guess. I never thought I'd be having a favorite dead guy, but
I think having a favorite dead guy is an important thing. When I was in college, we did a comedy radio show every week. We played like novelty records. Me and my college buddy Mike Mahoney. Hi, Mike. We had our dead rock star of the week, which and we didn't really do anything with it other than announce that this person was our dead rock star of the week and then play one of their songs. It was really just a way to fill about 4.5 minutes of an hour-long show.
There you go.
So that's a little bit of a side about dead people. Now, speaking of killing time, the moment at which you looked at your watch and sighed because it wasn't over. Hootie, what was your moment that you were like, oh my God, make it stop?
There comes a moment in time in every Oscar telecast that even if the show is growing perfectly, they figure out a way to make it suck in a hurry, and that is always when something choreographed comes on the stage. Sometimes it's the best song with interpretive dance. This year was Cirque du Soleil, and I'm just also sick and tired of seeing Cirque du Soleil. I feel like they're stalking me the same way Adele's music is stalking me everywhere I go. I can't seem to get away from them.
Well, to be fair, though, Adele is kind of contemporary, and Cirque du Soleil, I thought, was pretty much over unless you were in Vegas, but...
Apparently not, and even if it is contemporary, it's just everywhere. It's like McDonald's now. I mean, come on.
Fair point. Jason, what point did you look at your watch and go, oh my God, when can I make these people leave my house and go do this podcast?
I get to the point right... Oh, man, I didn't... Right before the, like, about halfway through the show, I was like, man, this is going to be a long night. And then I think right about that time, Billy Crystal came out and did the What Are They Thinking deal and kind of brought me back into it. But it was about right before that sketch happened.
Okay, for me, it was really early in the show. It was during the Billy Crystal opening song. Because and this whole show was for me was like an emotional yo-yo of that's pretty good. Oh my God, I want to stab myself in the eardrums, because I really really liked the opening montage movie that he did, And then just a few minutes later, the opening song just made me want to kill myself. It was so over the top and bullshit and everything I hate about award shows.
Yeah, but that's like, but you had to see it. That's like any standard, like, headlock in a WWE match. You had to see it coming. It's Billy Crystal. He's gonna do his Billy Crystal shtick.
Well, I understand that you see it coming. That doesn't mean that I don't think it's horrible.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess so.
That's really my point in the whole thing. So, hang on one second. This did this before. Hold one moment. Okay, we're back. My computer likes to play mind games with me, and it's an Apple, so it's a Steve Jobs thing. It looks like the recording stops, and it doesn't actually stop, but I get paranoid that it did stop, so I have to stop it to check to make sure that it stopped, and it didn't stop. So we're back. Yeah, the musical thing just blew me. Well, it blew me. I guess that's the best way.
So what you're saying is you're not a fan of Glee or Smash.
I am not a fan of musical theater of any kind. No, I don't.
Even Spamalot?
I haven't seen Spamalot. I might be okay with Spamalot. I was okay with Little Shop of Horrors. I guess that would be. So if it's done properly and it's done, you know, if it's done right, I guess so. But if it's over the top and ostentatious and I guess too gay for words, then it's not for me. Which reminded me of one thing. I wrote this down during the show. What was it? Oh, and we had talked about this a little bit before, about how the Academy doesn't really care about comedies. But comedy was a really big part of the show tonight, and not just from Billy Crystal, but all of the little bits that they did. There were a lot of comedy movies in their little montages. And by the way, how many montages of here's what it's like to go to the movies do we need to have during the Oscars?
Yeah, I think we all know that by now.
Hey, everybody who's watching the world's largest movie awards, here's what it's like to go see a fucking movie. Seriously?
Well, you know, at least, the only one that really annoys me is when they just have the endless clip reel. It was actually okay for me to watch the people talking about what they like most about the movies. In fact, I have something in one of our awards later that came out of one of those little roll-ins, I guess you would like to call them in old-school TV fashion.
Right.
But yeah, I do understand where you say like the clip part. That actually, I think, comes also from trying to copy MTV a little bit, because they do a lot of that outside stuff when they do their movie awards show, so that they try to keep it going for the the short attention span theater type people of our generation. And I thought the Christopher Guest troupe was just hands down the best part of the night.
Well, to talk about the people sitting, the actors talking about what they love about movies, that was a little bit different. Although it did sort of strike me as the Oscars suddenly become I love the movies. I was half expecting to be like the old VH1 stuff in front of the green screen, and it's a bunch of people you've never fucking heard of before, just sort of popping up and going, remember that time in that movie? Oh my God, that was awesome.
Well, the two main movies that were vying for Best Picture, spoiler alert, The Artist won, were all about loving the movies. I mean, Hugo is basically just a love letter to movies from Martin Scorsese. And The Artist obviously is a freaking love letter to everything that was old Hollywood. So it seemed fitting that they were going to go down that road a little bit, but they did overdo it just a bit.
The other aside about those interviews, I did not expect to see Patton Oswalt. I was pleasantly surprised to see him. I did not expect.
Well, they should have nominated him for an Oscar for crying out loud this year, but oh, that's another story for another argument for another day. But anyway.
So I was pleasantly surprised to see him. I wasn't quite sure about Gabourey Sidibe and her undying love of my left foot.
I don't mean to skip ahead on the awards, but that's actually the movie that I plan to see after tonight, because I was not expecting Precious to devote her time to her undying love to my left foot. And also, I had no idea, and I'm a movie guy, but I had no idea that not only was Daniel Day-Lewis doing a paralyzed guy, but he was doing a drunk. And the two together now just intrigued me, and I'm going to go try to find the movie. I think it's on Instant Watch on Netflix.
A drunk, paralyzed, one-footed guy.
Yes. I've only seen the clip where he catches the ball with the one foot. I was always angry because he beat Tom Cruise out that year for an actor award, and now I'm just completely obsessed with it because Precious was raving about it.
Jason, anything about those actor asides that, that sort of stuck in your mind? Because I have one more, and I want to save it.
I don't know. You guys are kind of bagging on him. I kind of thought it was kind of a nice little touch.
No. I thought that was a nice little touch. What I'm bagging on was the actual clips from movies that we're talking about. We love the movies, and here's why. The Cirque du Soleil thing was based on that.
Gotcha. I'm a big behind-the-scenes guy. I like to hear, like, how, you know, this was a lot of work to make this movie or whatever. So it's kind of nice to see how people who make movies, how what they remember about the movies or what movies they like. And it's... I was just waiting for someone to say, I like my own movie or something. You know, like, we get all greedy like that.
I sit and watch Precious over and over again.
You're actually, though, I admire you actually sat through Precious.
It was on a plane, so don't admire me too much. The one thing that sort of stuck in my mind about that whole thing, and this is going to go back to my questioning of your favorite and somebody I used to really like, Adam Sandler, who said, and I quote, "Every project is a little piece of me." And I'm like, really? Why are you mining your colon then? Jesus Christ.
Yes.
How about you dig a little into the heart and the soul and the brain and leave your fucking lower intestines out of your movies, you goddamn hack. Oh my God. You just put out Jack in Jail and you actually sit in front of a camera and talk about how your movies are pieces of yourself? Oh my God. Oh my God. How can you do that with a straight fucking face? Holy shit.
Following has been a paid announcement for the Adam Sandler Makes Sucky Movies by Nate
Jesus
Darling.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. That was the most ridiculous thing, the most pretentious thing I heard anybody say all night at the Oscars was that. And it was just so, so ridiculous.
That was actually my favorite tweet of the day was that that Weird Al had said he was going to, he had orchestrated a writing campaign for Jack and Jill. So when I saw that part, I just started to laugh and think of Weird Al. So I completely lost the Adam Sandler trying to keep serious about the fact that he made Jack and Jill.
Well, if that was the only one on his resume that was awful, I would go, okay, everybody has a bad one. He's just on a really, really bad run. And I hope he gets back on track with making good movies because he's done
You know, Ben Affleck made a lot of bad movies and he got back on track. I have faith in Adam Sandler. So
fingers are crossed.
Well, okay. Now, let's go from what I thought was the douchiest moment of the night to the coolest person in the room award. Who did you have down as your coolest person tonight in the room?
I actually have a tie for three people. I'm sorry. First and foremost, the celebrity seat filler, Carl, because it was just great. Secondly, Robert Downey Jr., because he took what seemed lame when he started Tebowing and turned it into my... I would say either first or second favorite presenter spiel of the night. And Chris Rock, just hands down. Chris Rock doing the whole bit about animated film being the easiest job in the world and getting paid $1 million to just say something was just, he's great. I love Chris Rock. Sorry.
Okay. Jason, what was your coolest person in the room?
I'm going to go with Robert Downey Jr. I mean, that was just that was probably one of the most fun things. His interaction with him, with the camera and Gwyneth Paltrow, just that interaction just seemed kind of fun, and didn't seem like many of the presenters were having that. And he's one of those guys. He's cool enough to pull that off and still be cool.
I'll buy that. On the other side of presenters, I know what they were trying to do with Emma Stone. I just don't think it didn't work. It just didn't quite work. And I applaud them for taking that chance, but it really did not work.
It worked for me, but then again, I was biased because I just watched The Help before watching the Oscars. So
okay.
I think I was still probably seeing a little bit of Skeeter.
The coolest person in the room for me is George Clooney because it's always George Clooney.
True.
Go ahead and argue with that, bitches.
Can't argue.
Yes, although...
I can't argue that Clooney isn't the coolest, but a very close runner-up, and I didn't put it in my notes because it happened late in the show. I was just completely awestruck by the way Natalie Portman did the Best Actor stuff, because she actually genuinely sounded like she believed the words that she was saying that were coming from the teleprompter, especially when she talked about it was a, you know, travesty that it was the first nomination for Gary Oldman, because anybody who's a movie buff thinks Gary Oldman is an amazing actor who should have been nominated years ago.
Yeah, and you know what? Gary Oldman, because I kept a really close eye on this, because we had the category about people who look pissed. The only actor who even looked remotely not happy for the winner the whole night, well, aside from Nick Nolte, because he can't really emote anymore, was Gary Oldman. And I can understand that, because he didn't look really mad. He just looked kind of that disappointed, like, oh, really? 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 Well, I mean, I guess it wasn't Brad Pitt, so I'm okay, but really? That was sort of the look I got from him. But everybody else looked really happy, and why can't I remember her name?
Meryl Streep?
That's it. When Meryl Streep, God, you're reading my mind. When Meryl Streep won, you look around, and they shot right to Glenn Close, and she looked more thrilled than she might have looked had she won. And here's a lesson for any ladies that might be listening out there. Pay attention to what Meryl Streep did. The first thing she did when she got to the microphone was, before she thanked her agent in the Academy and all this other stuff, she looked at her husband and said, I want to thank you because you make everything great. And guys never get that. From women. Women expect that from guys, but very rarely is it reciprocated in a way like that. And to be her husband, you have to feel like the luckiest guy in the world at that point. So
I agree.
Yeah, I mean if you're sitting there looking up at your significant other and she has just got the eyes of the world upon her, and she says, hold on, I want to do this first because it'll get cut off if I do it at the end. My husband is awesome. I mean, she's gonna get she's gonna get flowers forever, not that she doesn't already, but it's just a really good lesson for everybody on how to treat the person they're with so that they feel appreciated.
So. Yeah, and in that same vein, Christopher Plummer's nod to his wife at the end of his speech was, I think, as equally endearing. The fact that he said that she deserved the Nobel Peace Prize, my guess is the fact that he was probably a little bit of a tomfoolery man back in the day, that's just speculation. That was also, it seemed to be the night of spouses. It wasn't like the old Hillary Swank, I forgot to name my husband, and then we're divorced 2 years later anyway, type of award show.
Yeah, the only one who seemed to really disregard their spouse or significant other in any way was Angelina Jolie. But I think we've already established why that is.
Well, they're not technically married, so I mean.
No, they just have like 18 children together in one room. So, yeah.
And she's too cool for the planet, so, you know.
And you know what? I'm pretty sure she's withering away to nothing, because if she weighs over 115 pounds, I will eat my hat. Because there is nothing to her now.
It's time to put away the P90X. Yeah, I mean, right, seriously. Right.
She's going for that Madonna look, but Madonna minus 30 pounds, whatever that might be.
And then the leg made up for all the lack of weight. It's like, eat a cheeseburger. come on.
Right. Yeah, go to a Carl's Jr. ad, honey. Come on.
Exactly.
Moving on, the Why Is This Person Famous? Get Them Off the Stage Award. I'm going to go back and go give that to Will Ferrell. I'll move on from there. who did you want off the stage?
The hatred for Will Ferrell. I tell you, I saw a trailer for one of his new movies today, and I laughed my head off. But anyway, no, the president of the Academy. I don't ever understand why the president of the Academy needs to come out. It would be like if the senior member of management at any television station decided they were going to anchor the news. Just seriously, get off the stage.
Yeah, fair.
Can't argue with that. That's where I was going to go. So you nailed it.
That's fair. I don't hate Will Ferrell's movies. I just don't care for Will Ferrell the person.
It was Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis in white tuxedos and cymbals.
Well, no, I understand. It wasn't funny. It was just loud and obnoxious, and there is a difference.
Loud, obnoxious, funny.
Not always. Now, moving on, we're going to quickly move through this because I want to wrap the show up in a little bit. The Dear God. Oh, let's go back to.
Wait, can't we go 3 hours?
No, we can't. We're not Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith goes 3 hours because he's high and he has nothing better to do.
Oh, I was actually taking the play out of the Oscars.
Okay. Anyway. Since you already said this one, I'm going to save another question for last. In the movie or performance you didn't see that you might want to check out after seeing the show, you already said that you want to go back and see My Left Foot. Jason, what do you want to go see now?
I have two I would like to see. I want to see Moneyball.
Okay.
And Midnight in Paris, I've been wanting to see since before. I'm not a huge Woody Allen fan, but that one kind of intrigues me. I want to check it out and see what it's all about.
I thought about
it is a great movie. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off there, Nate.
No, that's fine. I thought about Midnight in Paris, but here's what happens with me in Woody Allen films. I'm not really a Woody Allen fan, and I get sucked in by a trailer or a little moment of it or a clever bit of it, and then when I actually see the full length thing, I just am not pleased with what I see. It's just not my bag. But the one thing that I wasn't planning on seeing that I actually will try and find now is The Iron Lady after seeing the clips of Meryl Streep, because she just looked like she nailed every aspect of Margaret Thatcher. And I just think that would be kind of cool to see. On the flip side, I have no desire to ever see that Glenn Close movie, no matter how good she might have been in it.
I don't think she quite nailed the bird-like voice quality of Margaret Thatcher, but everything else, I said she won the Oscar mainly for the teeth. That was just my humble opinion. And actually, the actual movies that are from this year, after seeing the big old montage for the shorts and the short animated films, I am totally going to go on iTunes and buy them because they just look fantastic, especially the Flying Books one. I know that sounds kind of movie geekish, but I don't know why they just jumped out at me, and I want to watch them now.
Okay. And the final award that we had, and I bumped this down to the back, not for any good reason, but because we had already hit one other thing. It's the Dear God, You Look Horrible in HD Award. Hootie, who looked horrible in HD to you?
You know, this is a toss-up. I hadn't really put much thought into it, but after reading a comment from a peer of mine, Sandra Bullock honestly looked like she was the lost sibling of Melissa Rivers. I don't know why. And she normally doesn't look like that, but for some reason, she just looked like she was Melissa Rivers' younger sister. And my runner-up would be, not so much it was bad, but holy cow, that was not real hair on Billy Crystal. He needs to get a commercial deal for Just for Men Tomorrow, because his hair looked the same as it did in When Harry Met Sally, and that movie came out when I was 12.
Yeah, it came out like 87, I believe, is when it came out.
Yeah, exactly.
Jason, what was your look horrible in HD award moment?
This came more from I tuned in right before the show, so I got a little bit of the pre-show, if that counts. I didn't recognize Nick Nolte. And I really didn't. I'm like, who's? Oh, that's Nick Nolte. Holy cow, that's interesting. But I didn't recognize him. Excuse me.
Now I'll let you clear your throat for a second, and I'll talk about Nick Nolte. I recognize Nick Nolte because I've seen the first three episodes of the HBO show Luck, so I know exactly what he looks like. But he is a weather-beaten old dude. But
yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I actually saw The Warrior, so I did recognize him right away. Or is it just Warrior? I forget what it's called.
It doesn't really matter. As an aside, the HBO show Luck. Now, have either of you seen Luck yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
I saw the pilot for it, and I keep meaning to go back and watch the next couple of episodes, but I just haven't got there yet.
I feel
bad because I actually met David Milch a couple months ago and talked with him at length after his presentation, so to speak, and found the man to be both fascinating and just generally a great guy, so I feel like I owe it to him, but anyway.
For me, I've watched all the episodes so far. There have been three so far, and I should be all in on this show. It's got Dennis Farina, and I love, 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 love Dennis Farina.
What's not to love?
It's got Dustin Hoffman. It's got Nick Nolte. It's got so much good stuff in it. And yet after three episodes, I don't give a fuck about anything going on the show. And I'm not the only one, because I get the HBO newsletter. And the thing that they sent out, I believe it was on Thursday, was a 1.5 to 2 minute recap of the show, explaining in great detail what the seemingly 8,000 characters in Locke are up to. Because it's been 3 hours of nothing but setups for all of the characters and all of their arcs. And it's just, you feel like you need a mental machete to get through the whole thing. But it's shot.
Well, their numbers have just dwindled too, because the first episode got millions, and they renewed it for a second year based on that first episode. And I think the ratings last week were like less than 500,000. So
it's so hard to follow. And I felt sort of refreshed and renewed by the fact that it wasn't just me when I got that email from HBO. And they're like, by the way, here's all of the stuff that you just spent 3 hours of your life trying to figure out. These people are doing this, and these people are doing this, and these people are doing this. I'm going to give it a couple of more episodes, one or two more, because the previews have a lot of action in them. And to this point, there hasn't been a ton of that. So that's a little bit of a side by on Nick Nolte and the show Locke. Sorry, back around to the look. I do a podcast. I can talk. My award for the Dear God, You Look Horrible in HD award goes to Chris Rock's hair.
Yes.
Chris Rock's hair. I saw that and I'm like, whoa, what's going on there?
I couldn't tell if it was his hair or his forehead. There was something weird with the top part of his head.
I'm not sure if he's growing it out for a role. If he's going
well,
on,
he was doing this very bohemian / vulgar role on Broadway, and I'm not sure if he's still doing it or not. I can't remember. I know the title has fuck in it, but I cannot remember what it was. I remember it being on the Tonys, but again, I can't remember the title because I don't remember plays that well. I just know War Horse was a play before it was a movie. He may still be doing that. If not, I think he's just keeping it real. But it did look kind of big for Chris, because Chris Rock doesn't normally sport that big a hairdo.
Do you remember the movie where Wesley Snipes had the white mohawk?
Yes, that would be Demolition Man.
Okay. I saw an interview with Wesley. This sort of harkened me back to that moment. I saw Wesley Snipes in an interview on, I want to say Larry King, was on some CNN thing. And he showed up, and this was between either while they were filming Demolition Man or they had just finished filming it, but it hadn't come out. There hadn't even been a preview yet. And all of a sudden, for some reason, I look up on my TV and I see Wesley Snipes with a white mohawk, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And they never addressed it. In a full, like, 20-minute interview, no mention of Wesley Snipes with a white mohawk. Not one. Maybe I was supposed to be left out of the joke. I don't really know, but that was it. So to wrap it up, guys, the Oscars overall. Let's talk first about. None of us saw all the movies, so let's just go with the show. Entertainment value. Let's give it a letter grade. I'm going to give it a B+ because, and I expected to hate it and think it was terrible, and I actually enjoyed most of it. Jason, what do you think?
I would pretty much agree. I think I would go B. I think I might have expected a little too much out of it, and so I'm gonna go with a B.
Okay, Hootie, what did you think of the Oscars?
I'm just going to skew a little bit higher. I'm going to go with A- because I really was expecting just god awfulness because it's been so bad the last 3 or 4 years. And it was so bad that I had totally forgotten how good it was when Billy Crystal was on. And everything that had happened leading up to the show, with the fact that it was going to be Eddie Murphy and the fact that it was going to be Brett Ratner. And I just really wasn't expecting to have one of those, you know, really warm and fuzzy feeling with the Oscars again. And I was completely left in shock. And I'm just really glad I spent my Sunday watching it.
Cool. Well, all right, guys. Thanks very much for helping make the special Oscar episode a reality. What do we call it? The Golden Naked Man Awards. Thanks.
I love it. Yeah.
Thanks.
Golden Naked Man.
Well, you came up with it, so you should love it. So thanks to
well,
you.
I know. Sorry.
Thanks to our friend Jay for cutting that fantastic open. And remember, the new episodes of The Nate Darling Show will be on your iTunes every Wednesday morning. So check us out for more Comedy Gold. We'll talk a little about the Oscars. We got some other cool stuff planned coming up. Thanks, guys, again. We'll see you all again very soon. Tell your friends about the Nate Darling Show. Give us a review on iTunes, too, if you like. Have a good one.